We titled this presentation, A Tale of the Tape, How 4,350 Vintage TV Audio Air Checks Were Saved by Fate. I'm here really to give tribute to one individual who's totally unknown with regard to his contribution to recording lost television, and in an era when so few people ever tape recorded their television set. And this gentleman's name, Louis Schrammel. He was an audio taper who had a passion for audio tape recording, mostly entertainment programming, variety shows. And he did it during a genre, this particular type of genre, flourished on television during the latter part of the 1950s, the 1960s, and the early 1970s. He remarkably recorded the sound of over 4,350 different programs in his home on multiple quarter-inch reel-to-reel audio tape recorders attached to multiple television sets, which I thought was really remarkable. He recorded the sound of mostly local and national broadcast live and videotape variety programs and specials, deleting in most cases, and this is even more remarkable. This gentleman, multiple televisions, multiple recorders, he would delete commercials while he was taping these programs. He was born in Austria in 1915, information I later acquired, and he passed away in May of 1982 at my current age of 67. I hope to live a little longer than he did. At the time when these original television broadcasts were aired, millions of viewers watched and listened to these programs at the exact same time. And yet, ironically, so many of Louis Schrammel's original television soundtrack recordings remain as the only broadcast record of a specific television show because most early videotape and live TV was never recorded. Or, if it was recorded on video, it was erased. Or, it was never archived for a multitude of reasons. A few reasons being quadruplex 2-inch videotape, and there'll be a slide that you'll see a number of times, literally weighed 25 pounds as one-hour reel. And if you consider what we can obtain today in terms of a little mini DV tape, which literally weighs 1.25 ounces, it's phenomenal in terms of the difference. So these big quadruplex tapes, they were very large, very, very difficult to store, and they had the quality where one could erase the tape, which you couldn't do with film. So programs were erased and reused and reused and reused over and over again. It's interesting to note that Johnny Carson, starring in The Tonight Show, his first 10 years of broadcasting, 1962 through 1972, only 12 shows survive out of a 10-year run. And tragically, hundreds of thousands of other shows also don't survive during this little window of 25 years from 1946-47 through 72. The fate of, and by the way, I just wanted to note that I made a very wonderful relationship with a wonderful author who does a lot of celebrity interviews, a man by the name of Bill Zeme. And he's currently writing a book, Carson the Magnificent, on the life of Johnny Carson. And I've been giving him Lost Television Tonight Show Carson material. And only with listening to these programs, interestingly, does Carson give anecdotal information that he never gave on any interview. And one would never really have that opportunity to extrapolate these wonderful personal biographical gems if it was not for certain moments while he was on with a particular wonderful guest that he had relationships with. So similarly, when you look at Louis Schrammel's entire collection, that was in recent jeopardy. And the collection, which represents 23 years of passion, effort, and inspirational work, this would have been lost forever if it was not for some fortuitous circumstances occurring in 1996, resulting in my own intervention and acquisition of his archive. Do you want to hear some ragtime? This is my first cut that I want you to listen to. It's with Ubi Blake and Max Morath. It was a special broadcast aired 40 years ago on PBS, September 8th, 1970.
When you were working in Legit and Vaudeville, you didn't sing very much, right?
No.
I have a theory. Now, check me on this. It was because there were no microphones. Because you have a microphone voice.
Yeah.
In an age when there were no microphones.
Oh, yeah. That's
your partner, Noble Sissel, had one of those voices that
projected
and pierced out into those big auditoriums.
Yeah.
I got money that says if there'd been microphones and electronic recording in the heyday of your vaudeville career, you'd have been a matinee idol with that quiet singing style.
Well, you sent me out here with a head as big as that piano.
On New Year's Day, 1996, January 1st, an article by J.R. Cochran appeared in the television section of the New York Daily News. It profiled yours truly and my own television audio archive, material that I personally taped as well. The original three-hour interview took place on April 10th, 1995, at my home by journalist Cochran. Fortunately, from the time this reporter interviewed me and the actual publication of the profile, 8.5 months later, profound circumstances and consequences would ironically save the Louis Schrammel collection from extinction. On that New Year's Day, 1996, that article was read by one Clarence Hall, who later revealed to me that he would very rarely read the TV section of the New York Daily News. He had just begun to work as a maintenance employee at the Helen Keller Hampstead Center for the Blind. Clarence phoned me after reading the New York Daily News article and alerted me of the fact that a large collection of audio tapes donated to this facility in August 1993 was about to be discarded into a dumpster and hauled away by the sanitation department. The center was making room for clothes and new donations, and it needed the fifth floor room for storage space presently occupied by dozens of Tropicana cartons containing Louis Schrammel's TV audio tapes. Now, you can imagine, these tapes are donated by his family. They were never touched, and they remained in this fifth floor room, still in those original boxes. Realizing my interest in this type of material, Clarence requested and received permission from the center to retrieve over 1,000 individual quarter-inch reel-to-reel boxes of tape, successfully rescuing 90% of the collection, for some reels were already scattered on the floor and water damaged. Over a period of 11 years, I made 14 trips to Clarence Hall's home from 1996 through 2006, and I acquired a majority of these tapes, totaling 852 reels, which have been subsequently collated and organized and is now a part of my archival television audio collection. And most of these quarter-inch reel-to-reel audio tracks, they sound superior to any surviving optical track, which may have been saved and archived on 16-millimeter kinescope film. Here's another example. Here is a program that aired at 11:30 at night. It was like a throwaway moment on WNEW. It's called Strolling with Al Hurt, November 5th, 1972, 38 years ago. It had the Friends of Distinction, Sarah Vaughan, Roy Clark, Boots Randolph, and others. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, man, you hear that? That makes you want to move all over, huh? Groovy music. Makes you feel real good. I'm going to tell you why. Down here in Louisiana, whether you're chopping up some cotton, or fishing in the bayou, or trapping in the woods, you're gonna find that the day goes by faster and a little happier if you put some music with it. You see, it's people music. For the people and by the people and down home, good American music. Now let's wander over to B.B. King's brand of Southern comfort. Get it on, B.B.
Louis Schrammel's amazing collection of TV audio air checks consists solely of music and variety shows and specials broadcast between 1959 and 1982. It includes samples of almost every show of these categories broadcast by the three TV networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, during a 23-year span. In some cases, complete or nearly complete runs of a series were recorded, including, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, The Jimmy Dean Show, The Bobby Darin Amusement Company, Burns and Schreiber Comedy Hour, Evening at the Pops, Fanfare with Al Hurt, half the George Kirby Comedy Hour, DuPont Show of the Week, The Big Bands, Helen Reddy Show, Here Come the Stars, Here's Edie, Hurdy Gurdy, Jim Neighbors Hour, Keith Brazell Show, The King Family Specials, Mac Davis Show, The Lively Ones, Make Your Own Kind of Music, The Roger Miller Show, Rolling on the River, The Steve Lawrence Show, That's Life, Vaudeville, and scores of other series, in addition to 500-plus specials. And they're all contained in, and categorized in tape boxes specifically related to the series, which was outstanding to me. It wasn't just haphazardly done. It was specifically waiting for the next run, and he would take the particular box related to a series and continue to tape on that tape. A good example, Schrammel Audio recorded 85 Bell telephone hours, and he placed them in 22 individual 7.5-inch reel boxes with no other content except Bell telephone hour air checks. The Bell telephone hour, a remarkable series, that aired from October 9, 1959 to April 26, 1968. Prior to its regular run, there were four specials. And here is a little excerpt audio air check moment from the second special, which aired on February 10, 1959, 51 years ago, Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald.
E is for Ella. D is for Duke, two names that stand for the best in American jazz.
Almost all 4,350 TV audio air checks from the Schrammel collection play back with commercials deleted for uninterrupted continuity. Most broadcasts were recorded quarter track at 7.5 IPS, inches per second, or at 3.75 IPS, and by direct line, making listening to 40 or 50-year-old TV audio air check recordings really a joy to behold. Currently, DVD releases of assorted TV programs have become more and more available to the public. However, with very few exceptions, these releases are not complete, missing openings and closings and whole segments, as exemplified by the following broadcast: All-Star Swing Festival, The Big Band Sound and All That Jazz, an NBC special broadcast, October 29, 1972, 38 years ago.
From Philharmonic Hall in New York's Lincoln Center, the Timex All-Star Swing Festival. special guest stars, Benny Goodman and the original quartet. Miss Ella Fitzgerald. Count Basie and his orchestra. Also starring Lionel Hampton, Gene Krupa, Teddy Wilson, the Dave Brubeck Quartet, Joe Williams, plus a galaxy of all-time guest stars, and starring the world's most celebrated musician, Duke Ellington and his orchestra. Presented by Timex, world's largest manufacturer.
After some investigation on my own, I later learned that Schrammer recorded broadcast audio almost every night, 7 nights a week, 52 weeks a year, using a number of different quarter-inch audio tape recorders. In most cases, as I stated, the commercials were deleted, and he would watch multiple programs at the same time. Occasionally, his mother, who was living with Louis Schrammel, and his wife would tape a program when Louis wasn't at home. And on occasion, I would find little crib notes in the boxes of these quarter-inch reel-to-reels relating to a particular show, stating, and I have one quoting him, "Missed first 10 minutes due to coming home late during a snowstorm," end quote. In each 7-inch reel-to-reel box, Schrammel would include clippings from TV Guide, from newspapers, confirming the air date and description of the air check recorded on a specific reel. Playboy's Penthouse. This is a real rare 50-year-old, almost 50-year-old audio air check. It was a short-lived syndicated TV series with Hugh Hefner hosting. We're going to listen to a little excerpt from a broadcast which aired on WOR-TV December 30th, 1960, almost 50 years ago. The Dave Brubeck Quartet introducing Take 5, nine months before it reached Billboard's top 40 on September 25th, 1961.
The largest manufacturer of what?
Sure, mighty fine. Have me here. It's been a long time since you've been in town. I miss you.
I'll save you. You know all the guys in the group, don't you?
Well, Paul, of course, for a long time. I don't know if we met the other fellows or not.
Oh, we have Joe Morello on drums, Eugene Wright on bass.
I sure know the music they make, and that's the important thing. Looks like everybody's at the ready. You want to swing out a little bit for us?
Yeah, tonight we'd like to do two numbers from the Time Out album. That's the album where we took all numbers that have different time signatures than we're used to playing in, you're used to hearing. And this first one's in 5/4 time. It's written by Paul Desmond. After that, we're going to do one in 9/8 time that I wrote, that you superimpose 4/4 later on, but don't try to keep time.
A real new approach to jazz.
Kickoff will be Take 5 by Paul Desmond. Okay.
Out of great curiosity, I gradually did some challenging detective work and researched the following information, which, though not completely 100% verified, sheds more light as to the identification of this phenomenal taper. After Schrammel died in May of 1982, his family held on to these tapes for 11 years. In August 93, his entire sound collection, except his LP record collection, as I mentioned, was donated to the Helen Keller Hempstead Center for the Blind, which at that time, the thought blind people would really benefit by listening to these tapes. He and the family never realized that the tapes would never be used at all. And consequently, they were going to be discarded. At that time, it was very, very much a non-internet world. And if it happened today, they probably would have gone on eBay or some other resource, and it would have been somewhere else, and not at the Helen Keller Center for the Blind. It just behooves me that there was no real observation of its value, and therefore they were ready to discard these tapes. I want to skip a little here because I know my time is limited. I want to go to a 46-year-old track. It was a wonderful program called Strolling 20s. It was on CBS, February 21st, 1966, Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, Sammy Davis Jr., Diane Carroll, Duke Ellington. Take a listen to this gem.
And in New York City, everything was happening. Jimmy Walker made a colorful mirror, and everybody who could afford it wanted a wireless set. A local boy made good and gave the world its first talking motion picture. And in Harlem, a tiny community in the middle of Manhattan, Marcus Garvey raised money for the purpose of taking Negroes back to Africa. Duke Ellington was writing a new page in American musical history. Tonight, Miss Diane Carroll, Sammy Davis Jr., Duke Ellington, Sidney Poitier, George Kirby, Miss Gloria Lynn, Brownie McGee, Nipsey Russell, and Joe Williams will recreate some of the highlights of that era, which for most of America is called the Roaring Twenties. But in Harlem, it was called the Strolling Twenties.
The legacy of Schrammel, the one that he leaves behind, recording many of the thousands of inaccessible and lost television broadcasts, surviving only as audio, allows for present and future generations the opportunity to have access to a retrospect of the golden and silver age of television's past for historical research, nostalgic entertainment, and review. During the 1960s and early 1970s, archiving television was still not a priority by producers, television stations, or by museums, or most individual collectors. And this is why so many TV broadcasts from 1946 through 1972 either does not exist any longer, or, and if it does exist, and there are exceptions, they remain buried away somewhere, held back from the public for a myriad of reasons, awaiting a fate with destiny, as two-inch quadruplex videotape does not last forever, or the machines to play them back. Listen to this rare gem. This is Winter Carnival at Sun Valley. It's an ABC Lost special broadcast February 23rd, 1962. Louis Armstrong in a duet with Roberta Peters.
Westinghouse. Westinghouse presents tonight, against the majestic backdrop of one of America's great playgrounds, it's Winter Carnival at Sun Valley. Produced by Marlon Lewis. Starring Louis Armstrong and his orchestra. The comedy of Jack Carter. The voice of Roberta Peters.
Grab your coat, grab your hat, leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet on Sunshine Street.
Rare example is of a piece that exists nowhere in the world, and only once was it played back on television 48 years ago and is a lost tape. And only because the audio was recorded off the air does the broadcast record survive. Only now do we regrettably realize how much of our TV broadcast history was discarded at a time before there was public awareness, before television museums existed, and before home consumer VCRs were available for accessible home use beginning in 1976. It wasn't until that year that the U.S. Congress enacted a law officially recognizing television as an important aspect of American culture and sanctioning a national television archive be established. Thus, the achievement of Louis Schrammel and his remarkable passion for diligently audiotaping television and preserving thousands of soundtracks representing the only broadcast accessible record from television's past is of great importance and deserves meritorious recognition. We also must thank Clarence Hall for being in the right place at the right time and for having the forbearance to intercept and save Louis Schrammel's lifetime work from being destroyed forever. I shall be always grateful to Clarence for reading that article and contacting me. To sum up, in retrospect, it should be remembered that home audio recordings of television broadcasts was accessible to anyone. Every single individual who had a television had the opportunity to record a moment in history, but very, 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 very few individuals, archive personnel, or media historians selected to invest the time and money to qualitatively and quantitatively audio record a television set during television's first 25 years of broadcasting. It was an era when so much programming was never saved for posterity as picture by the people who produced and appeared on television, or as sound preserved by the people who simply watched television, like Louis Schrammel. Hopefully, as we enter television's 65th year of commercial broadcasting, there are potentially additional television audio air checks still to be found, and I have found almost none in the last 10 years. To this objective, it is my motivation for collecting and my profound purpose for founding, developing, maintaining the country's most extensive vintage television audio archive. Where it all started, New Orleans, a montage of jazz sounds from three separate TV programs as we wrap it up. You're going to listen to Ray Anthony, which was a syndicated special airing on WORTV February 13, 1968. A boy from New Orleans, Louis Satchmo Armstrong's final concert appearance, which was a command performance for Prince Philip taped in London in November 1970, but was later broadcast on WNEW, Channel 5. It was a special which aired August 23rd, 1972, and the voice of Firestone, Mardi Gras Night, featuring Pete Fountain and the Dukes of Dixieland, broadcast over 51 years ago on ABC TV, February 9th, 1959.
Look,
you could put as much treble into this as possible.
For some reason or other. Hey, fellas, give an idea what he looked like the day he walked in. Remember that? Now you tell me, is that a fat girl or not? Tommy Melton is his name, 24 years old, and we're going to feature him on the great Benny Goodman jazz classic, Sing, Sing, Sing.
Come up north and and come up to get a little Highland House to get the word jazz, you know. Then the swing, and well, then it all started from New Orleans.
When I was born, long ago, July the 4th, 1900, it was back of town.
This was Pete Fountain and the Dukes of Dixieland. I believe the very first appearance on television away from Lawrence Welk.
Phil, I apologize, we're running a bit long, so those of you that have questions for Phil, he's promised me that he won't run away right away, so he's available for questions.